As we continue in the Gospel of John, we're in chapter 8, verse 30 through 47, and this includes one of my favorite verses. I have a lot of favorite verses. I hope you do too. So I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles or the Pew Bibles. And before we read this, it's a question for you. Can you name the disciples of Jesus? So just call out some names. Disciples of Jesus, Lynn.
Simon Peter.
Who else? Matthew. Who else?
Thaddeus.
Luke. Thaddeus. John.
Bartholomew.
Okay. Okay. James and John, the sons of thunder. Yep. And John, who wrote this gospel.
Judas.
Okay. Good. That's a good start. Now, I'd like everybody on the count of three to call out your own name. One, two, three. Ron. Okay. Now we'll read this, and I want you to see why your name goes in as a disciple. So, John chapter 8 says, as he was saying these things, that's Jesus, as he was speaking to the people, and he had said just before this, I am the light of the world. And then he talked about his death a little bit. And it says, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the verse for me. That's the one. It's one of my favorites. And you can see how we insert you in here as a disciple of Jesus. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, just a little aside here on the wording here. So much of the ESV, English Standard Version that we have, goes back kind of in a chain, the root to King James Version, and before that, to William Tyndale. His English translation of the Greek New Testament. Tyndale's words are still echoing here. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the amazing thing about this is how often this is quoted, not just in the church, but in our culture. These words are just common, and it all comes back to here, the words that Jesus said, and in the English, back to how William Tyndale translated it. So, Jesus gave these powerful words, if you abide in my word, you will know, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, you think that they would go, amen, that's great. But here's what human nature does. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say that you will become free? Now, just historically, we know that they were enslaved over different periods of time. In Egypt, then to the Assyrians, the Babylonians. Here they're talking about spiritual slavery. They're saying we have never been spiritually enslaved by anyone. So Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I have heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. Now, kind of notice this. Jesus just keeps pushing on them. And their response back is to push harder. They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." So Jesus' words come to us. He's always challenging us. He challenged the hearers at his time when he was on earth. And we're to take these words and look and say, how does this apply to me? And how do I push back sometimes against Jesus? What does it mean for me to believe in him and to follow him? See, Jesus didn't want people just to have a general spirituality. That's a starting point. There's a lot of people in our culture who are spiritual. So it's a good place to begin a conversation with a lot of people and lead them forward in that. And Jesus, as he is addressing fellow Jews, didn't want to leave them with just believing in maybe some basic truths about God or thinking that they knew God when they really didn't. So Jesus says something about discipleship. There's a deeper walk of faith, and that's in discipleship. Back to verse 31 again, where Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Begins with the word "if." It's a conditional clause, the condition for everything else that's going to happen. The condition is stated there, and that is abiding in Jesus' word. And if we don't fulfill the condition, then what follows will not happen in our lives. So that's the nature of a conditional clause. So the condition of abiding in Jesus' word, we can also say that that is what we would call faith. Jesus would say this is what it means to be faithful to him, is to abide in his word. Well, what does that mean, to abide in Jesus' word? One of the things we do is look at the verb tense, and it's an ongoing action. It's not just a one-time event or something that's in the past. It's an ongoing action. And in other translations, it would be if you continue in my word, or if you remain in my word, or if you hold to my word. All of those are good translations. It's the idea of an ongoing, holding fast, continuing in, just embracing it in its completeness. And that's what faith is. Faith is ongoing. And Jesus is letting them know you need to abide, continue in his word, not just grab a hold of a little bit of it for a short amount of time, but ongoing remaining in us. Now, this abiding in Jesus' word needs to find its place in us. In verse 37, he says, I know that you're offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. They had God's word. It was the old, we call it the Old Testament. That was their scriptures. They had God's word. Jesus said that all of that spoke about him. So they have this word. It is something that is outside of us, right? It's external and it's objective. It's not meant to be subjective. In other words, it's not meant to be read and I go, oh, this is my truth and you've interpreted it differently. You have your truth. That's okay. It's an objective truth in here. God means for us to try to find out what he's really saying, not just what we want him to say and be subjective. So we have this external objective truth, and Jesus says it hadn't found its place in them. It hadn't, so it can't just stay out here. It's got to come in here. So it comes in through our minds, but in order to really be in us, he's talking about we understand God's word, we seek his truth, and then it finds its place in our affections, in our heart, our souls, so that it impacts all of who we are. So they had God's word. They might even have understood the truths of it and what it was saying, but he's saying it didn't find a place in their heart to really move them in the right direction. And if it would have, says, then they would love Jesus. They would have seen who he was. So God's word finding a place within us, impacting our affections for God. And as we abide in Jesus' words, he points us to something. See, they start talking about Abraham. We're offspring of Abraham. The reason they did that is Abraham was considered really to be the father of their faith. We come back to Genesis and verses or chapters 1 through 11. Begin with creation and then the fall, sin and how it impacts people, and sin's impact gets worse and worse. Then there's the flood, and then the earth is repopulated and stuff still just begins to go downhill. And then Abraham, the call of Abraham. And Abraham had faith. He believed in God. And the promises that came to Abraham impacted God's people. So they looked to Abraham as the father of their faith. And Jesus then, in verse 39, says, when they said Abraham was our father, he says, if you were Abraham's children. And so there's a hint there that just having that blood lineage isn't really what it means to be Abraham's offspring. It says, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. If you really were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. Jesus could have said, you would have the faith Abraham had. But he chose to say the works. Why? I look at that, and when you read the words of Jesus, he doesn't soft pedal things. Just right there, you'd be doing the works, the things that Abraham did, the action that is there. So he doesn't use faith, but he's talking about faith. So during the prayer of confession, I mentioned that Paul talked about grace so much in relation to faith, so much about grace that people misunderstood it. And that impact was so great upon the church that he had to correct it in Romans. And then we turn to the book of James. And James, who is half-brother of Jesus, James needs to correct it as well. People are just not getting it. They're thinking, oh, I just believe certain things about God. And it doesn't have to impact what I do, how I work. And some people can read James and say, well, James is saying that faith without works is dead. And Paul says that we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace. And the two contradict each other. Well, they don't. They're saying the same thing, just in different language. And James is even picking up on language of Jesus. Works. The works. Why works? For Paul, when he used works, he was using it in a very technical way. That the Jews felt that by their work at that time, the Pharisees especially, that they could earn their salvation. But Paul never denied that faith had an element of obedience in it. So in Romans, where he's correcting people who've misunderstood grace and therefore have misunderstood the nature of faith, in that letter he begins and ends with his purpose for writing, and that is to bring about the obedience of faith. That is, faith that produces obedience. That's what Jesus is talking about here when he says, you would be doing the same works Abraham did. When we look at Abraham, when God gave him promises, look up in the stars, and your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in heaven. And Abraham believed him, had faith, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He believed and he lived out his belief. Even from the very beginning, his call, when he was in Ur, and God just simply said, let's go, pick it up, pack up your family, let's go to the place that I'll show you. You know, not even a destination, the end in mind yet. Just go. And he does it. And he does other things when he has his son, his only son, his heir, that the promises are going to be fulfilled through. And God says to him, go sacrifice your son. Now, Abraham obeys. God stops the sacrifice before it's completed. Isaac is spared. But see, what's happening is his faith has that element of action, of obedience, of work. And abiding in Jesus' word so that we can truly be his disciples is that. It's faith that has obedience, and so we see the evidence of our faith in our lives. To abide in Jesus' words, Jesus also says this in verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. So for us to abide in Jesus' word, we have to be of God. What does it mean to be of God? Certainly it means that we belong to God, right? We're God's children. That's being of God. But it also means, prior to that, is that God is doing a work in us. How do we become children of God? It's God, God's work to bring that about so that we can be of God. And that's a necessary thing for us to be able to abide in Jesus' word. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. And we're not able to really hear God's word for what it is. So the first part of being a true disciple of Jesus, then, is to abide in his word. And a result that comes out of that is to know the truth. And we differentiate truth from lies, from falsehood. Jesus makes bold claims, always. And in verse 40, he says, you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. He always claims that what he is saying is what he has gotten from the Father, what he has heard from the Father, what he has seen from the Father. Only Jesus has been in that place. So when he speaks, it is full truth, because he has seen and heard the Father. So the result of abiding in Jesus' word is that we will come to know the truth. We're always growing in that, aren't we? Always refining, always looking and saying, boy, I thought I understood this before, this truth, but now I see a more complete picture, or I see where I was off a little bit. When Jesus speaks, it is from God. Now, Jesus, in talking with his fellow Jews, was pushing them not to condemn them, but to move them out of the comfort zone that they were in, out of their false views. He wanted to move them into his light. Remember, just before this, he had said, I am the light of the world. He doesn't want them to walk in darkness. So in the midst of this kind of prodding back and forth, Jesus says, when he's talking about kind of who's your father, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and you do your father's desires. Then he speaks about the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Another translation says something like this: when he lies, he speaks his own native tongue or his native language. That's what Satan does. We go back to the fall with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. And when it talks about Satan, it says the serpent was more subtle than all the other beasts. More subtle. See, the father of lies knows that if you give a blatant lie, people are going to look at you and go, I don't think so. But you come with something very subtle. Something that sounds, it has mostly truth in it. It sounds right. 99.9% true. Just throw it off a little bit. That's what happened with Eve. The dialogue back and forth with the serpent. He just put a little bit of doubt in her mind. Just twisted a little bit of God's word. And then it became fuzzy in her mind, and she got it wrong, and it went back and forth. And then pretty soon, what was just a little bit off in our thinking widens. Just look at our culture. Look at the changes that have taken place in the past 40, 50 years. You know, television and radio, I mean, in the course of history, fairly modern things. Go back to the early years and the language that could be used and the expressions of sexuality and the violence that could be seen. Even for us, we remember when a movie was rated R, that what that really meant. And now when something's rated R, it's you know, very different. And, I mean, it's getting more and more closer to the X instead of R. And, I mean, what's happened is that little bit of being off just continues to widen and widen. And that's what Satan is able to do. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that Satan is able to disguise himself as an angel of light. It's an amazing thing. And you know, Satan probably finds it very humorous that part of the world thinks that Satan is this funny-looking character in red with horns and a tail that has a little spike at the end, and you know, someone easy to recognize. And he just knows he's got him, because he can appear as an angel of light and just give 99.9% truth in that one, you know, 100% off. And Jesus is saying, we look to his truth. When we look to his truth, we're able to see the deceptions that are there of Satan, who is the father of lies, the father of deception. And so a disciple of Jesus wants to know the truth to guard against evil. And there's a lot of different images in Scripture that we have. Vacation Bible School this year, going to talk about the armor of God and the shield to stop the fiery darts of the evil one. Shield of faith. So that's what Jesus is calling us to, is faith, abiding in his word, so that we know the truth. The truth guards us from the lies. And part of this truth is seen in the character of Jesus. And here's the important thing. Jesus threw that out there, and nobody contradicted him, where he talked about his character. Which one of you convicts me of sin? Says verse 46. Which one of you convicts me of sin? Nobody answered. Because Jesus didn't have any. They couldn't see it. Couldn't see his sin. So his truth is in his character. So when we abide in the word, we begin to know the truth. And the purpose of all this is freedom, so that we will have complete and utter freedom. People he's speaking to think they're already free. They're not. They're still bound. So it's a freedom from slavery to sin, to futility. Paul even says, we're slaves to sin. But we're called to be slaves to righteousness. That's being a disciple of Jesus, being a slave to righteousness. Trusting in Jesus' word, letting that truth change us, our affections, so that God's righteousness is within us. It's his righteousness. And it becomes evident to others as well. So we are freed from slavery, but we're always freed from something to something. That's what Jesus would really want to emphasize here for us as disciples. Here's the purpose. We see verse 42. Jesus says to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. So the purpose is to love Jesus. We abide in his word. We know his truth, not just to know it, but to love him. To love him. Why do we love him? Because he came from the Father. He's pointing us to the Father. And Jesus would say, we love the Father. If you love Jesus, you automatically love the Father. So we are freed to love Jesus and to love the Father in a way that is like no other, when we really know who Jesus is and we abide in his truth. So the question to you is, can you name the disciples of Jesus? Thank you. Let's hear it. Okay. God has called us to be his disciples. He's given us his truth, and he has brought us into the greatest freedom. Let's pray. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, that you have given to us your Son to reveal truth, to give us true freedom. And so help us, for we are seeking to be faithful disciples. Give to us a desire each day to abide in Jesus' word and to let it transform us. And we pray these things in his name, for there is no other. Amen.